Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Thunderbolt Earth, the podcast series where we answer your questions about anything related to Earth. Today we are going to be answering a few interesting questions that you guys asked us on Twitter. So the first question is, what are the characteristics of Earth that would need to change in order for Earth to be like Venus or Mars? So I'm going to be comparing a few characteristics that those three planets have. The first characteristic that those planets have is diameter. Mars, which has a diameter of 6,790 kilometers, is slightly more than half of the size of Earth, which has a diameter of 12,750 kilometers. Venus has a diameter of 12,104 kilometers, which is slightly smaller than Earth's diameter. So can Earth become smaller or larger to be closer to the size of Venus or Mars? The answer is yes. The Earth's size is not constant. Space is filled with asteroid debris, comet trails, and ionized particles streaming away from the sun. As Earth floats in space, its gravity vacuums all that dust up. This space dust eventually settles on the surface. The settling of this space dust, along with some larger chunks in the form of meteorites, adds up about 43 tons of mass to our planet every day. Although it's possible that our planet is getting larger, it's possible that it's getting smaller due to the atmosphere leaks. A light stream of gases like hydrogen and oxygen are continually escaping from our atmosphere. These streams of gases are more dense at the poles, where gas flows out along the magnetic field lines in the form of the polar wind. Earth loses several tons of mass every day, more than gaining from dust, so that's why the Earth could be getting smaller. The next characteristic that I'm going to compare is the color of the planets. Earth, Mars, and Venus are all different colors. From far away, Earth looks like a blue marble with white swirls and some brown, yellow, and green parts. Mars looks like a dusty red color, and the surface of Venus looks bright white with different shades of gray. So why are all of them different colors? Well, the rusty red color that you see on Mars is the iron oxide that is found within the surface material. The rocks and soil on the surface are made up of iron. Wind eroded these rocks and soil, and volcanoes blew out the iron, spreading it all over the planet. After this happened, the iron from the dust reacted with oxygen, which produced the rust-red color. From space, the Earth appears blue. This is because the Earth is covered with 71% water. The shade of blue depends on the depth of the water. If you look at the watery regions bordering the continents, it's a light shade of blue. But if you look at the center of the ocean, they have a darker shade of blue. Another reason why Earth appears blue is because the sky is blue. The sky is blue because our atmosphere is more efficient at scattering blue light than red light. From space, Venus looks bright white because it's covered with clouds that reflect and scatter sunlight. The different shades of gray are from the rocks, but the thick atmosphere filters the sunlight so that everything would look orange if you were standing on Venus. The next characteristic that I'm going to compare is the length of days and years for each planet. The length of days and years are different on Earth, Mars, and Venus. While there are 24 hours in a day on Earth, there are 24 hours and 37 minutes in a day on Mars, and 2,802 hours in a day on Venus. These times show how long each planet takes to do a full rotation around their axes. While there are 365 days a year on Earth, there are 687 Earth days a year on Mars, and 225 Earth days a year on Venus. The reason why the years are longer on Mars is because it's farther away from the sun, and has to travel a greater distance around the sun. So if Earth was farther away from the sun, our years would be longer too. The reason why there are less days a year on Venus is because it's closer to the sun than the Earth is. Another characteristic that Earth would have to change to become like Mars or Venus is its surface temperature. Earth has a surface temperature of 14 degrees Celsius, but Mars has a surface temperature of negative 63 degrees Celsius, which means it's a lot colder. The reason why Mars is so cold compared to Earth is because it's very dry, farther away from the sun, and has a very thin atmosphere, which is 1% of Earth's atmosphere. The Earth is warm compared to Mars because there are greenhouse gases in our atmosphere that help keep Earth warm enough to live on. Venus is a lot hotter than Earth because its surface temperature is 471 degrees Celsius and is closer to the sun. So if Earth was closer to the sun, it would obviously be hotter. The next question that you guys asked us on Twitter is, why is it summer in the northern hemisphere when it is winter in the southern hemisphere? Well, as the Earth revolves around the Sun, each hemisphere gets to see varying amounts of sunlight. The Earth is tilted in relation to its poles, so the hemisphere that is tilted towards the Sun is warmer because the sunlight travels directly to the Earth's surface. When it's winter where you're living, it means that you're facing away from the Sun. So if you live in the Northern Hemisphere, you experience summer in June. The question is, why does the Northern Hemisphere experience summer in June? Well, summer starts in June in the Northern Hemisphere because that's when the sun rays hit the part of the Earth more directly than any other time of the year. Winter in the Northern Hemisphere begins in December because that's when the South Pole tilts toward the sun and the North Pole tilts away from the sun. Not all countries experience summer in June. Countries in the Southern Hemisphere experience opposite seasons to countries in the Northern Hemisphere. In Southern Hemisphere countries like Australia, their summers occur in December, and their winters occur in June, whereas the Northern Hemisphere experiences winter in December. Another interesting thing that occurs during the summers and winters is the summer and winter solstice. The two solstices occur in June and December. At the summer solstice, the sun travels the longest path and therefore gives the most daylight. When the summer solstice happens in the Northern Hemisphere, it means that the North Pole is tilted towards the sun. During the Northern Hemisphere summer solstice, the Southern Hemisphere gets its winter solstice, which means that the sun travels its shortest path, and therefore gives the least amount of daylight. During the Northern Hemisphere's winter solstice, the Southern Hemisphere gets its summer solstice. The last question we have chosen to answer is, which parts of the Earth have the greatest quantity and diversity of living organisms and why? Well, tropical ecosystems are known to have the greatest biodiversity. These include tropical rainforests on land and coral reefs in marine systems. The rainforests contain 170,000 of the world's 250,000 known plant species. There are a number of reasons why tropical rainforests are so biologically diverse, such as the hot and wet climate, the rapid recycling of nutrients, and large areas of the rainforest are untouched by humans. The hot and wet climate provides ideal conditions for vegetable growth and helps plants and animals to thrive. The rapid recycling of nutrients helps speed up the growth of plants, provide producers with food, and which then turn into food for primary consumers. The untouched parts of the rainforest means that humans don't cause destruction in those areas, which helps the plants and animals to survive. Coral reefs are known as the rainforests of the sea because they are so biologically diverse. They support about 25% of all known marine species. Scientists estimate that more than 1 million species of plants and animals are associated with coral reef ecosystems. Mangrove forests and seagrass beds are one of the most important features of the coral reef ecosystem. Mangroves are trees that grow along tropical and subtropical coasts. Their root systems help filter out pollutants and produce nutrients. They attract many marine species because their roots provide nursery, breeding, and feeding grounds for the species. Seagrass beds are flowering plants that often form meadows between mangrove islands and coral reefs. They attract marine species because they can form many food webs, provide nutrients to many kinds of species, from snails to sea turtles, provide shelter and protection for valuable species like crabs and lobsters, filter the water column, prevent seabed erosion, and release oxygen to marine life. So now let's talk about what countries are the most biologically diverse. The top five most biologically diverse countries in the world are Brazil, China, Peru, Mexico, and Ecuador. Brazil has a number of rainforests, including 60% of the Amazon. China has over 2,350 nature reserves covering 50% of the country. Peru is also very concerned about its endangered species, so they have nature reserves that protect 75% of its 122 endangered species. Mexico has 707 known reptile species, so they have designated over 170,000 square kilometers of land to nature reserves. Charles Darwin dedicated years of study and his own research to Ecuador and the Galapagos Islands, and found out that they have 576 flora and fauna species exclusive to their country. Ecuador also has conservation projects that are working to encourage reforestation efforts in Ecuador's rainforests. So that wraps up our podcast episode for Thunderbolt Earth. If you have any more questions that you want us to answer, then make sure to tweet us at Thunderbolt Earth. See you in the next episode!